run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Zucker for the Wild. Right about jumping it in. He'll carry it, and he kicks it wide. And fourth down, Olympic, a save, rebound. Score on the wraparound. What a play by Zucker. Now it comes back out to the line. Jared Spurgeon has it. Spurgeon sets it across. One counter, score. What a shot. Matt Dumba. He can shoot the puck, and he beats Allen on the power play. 2-0 Wild. Off the board. It's picked up by Grandlin. He's got an empty net from center ice. He scores. Trying to tie it up, getting some help from Parise. It comes to center ice. Hammondville for the open net. He'll score. Two empty net goals for the Wild, and now they have a 4-2 lead.
Oh, yeah.
You owe me $5.
Oh, that's right, I do.
That's right. Remember how this left off last year, and I gave you a chance to sort of
thought maybe you'd forget about that part.
Well, I did until I remembered that it was for money.
Do you have change?
I have 500 pennies.
Hello.
And so I'd like to say, you owe me money.
I owe you money.
Yeah, you do.
Do you have change for a 10?
No.
You don't have change for a 10?
No. But you could probably get change for 10 down here at the office, and that's where we find ourselves.
God, this is the nicest place.
Oh, my.
Can you believe they let us here? I mean, this is a little bit more...
This is kind of upscale for us.
Well, yeah.
It's too nice.
I mean, this is too nice for a guy from Lauderdale and a guy from Shakopee to be hanging out. It's But I mean, look at everybody else here. It's just not like us.
Just good people.
Just great
people. Good people just hanging out, taking in the sunshine out here on the back deck at the office. And the Twins are ready to fire it up against the Feather.
Think we could catch a home run if we're out here? I mean, because we're just outside.
Close enough.
Just outside the left field line. I bet Kenny Vargas could hit us a ball.
He probably could.
That man is a man beast.
Probably still be able to catch on the first bounce.
We're at the office pub and grill. Not the office. I had so many guests we have today.
Oh.
I told them, hey, we're going to be at the office. And they're like, okay, yeah. We'll stop by the studio, I guess. And the office on Washington. It's awesome. It's just a block away from Target Field, gate 3. Park your car, come in, have a few great drink specials, unbelievable food, great people.
Unbelievable.
And
great service.
Here.
And I'm here, so come down and see me because you'll really want to see me.
Yeah.
And then there's Ben.
Yeah, you don't need to that
up. What did you eat? You have a pretty good...
yes.
You have a feedback on?
Yeah, they have burgers, they have sliders. I had a steak sliders. Nice little side salad.
I saw
trying
that.
To keep my girlish figure, but unbelievable. Pretzel bun, cheese, steak, onions... Peppers.
It don't get no
mushrooms.
Better than that.
Oh, it's all amazing. It's fantastic. I love it here at the office.
Great place.
It couldn't be a better day for baseball and outside baseball. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago where years ago, 5-10 years ago, we'd have to go inside to watch a baseball game. We don't have to do that here. Park your car, stop by, great drink specials
nice.
At the office and some unbelievable food.
Pretty cool place. Great help. I'm telling you what, you'll enjoy it. Get down here for the happy hour and take in the game, too, and then come back. And we'll still be here drinking.
Yep.
So make sure you do.
$3 cold domestic taps, full menu before and after each broadcast. Just walking distance to Target Field, surrounded by numerous parking options. Chance to win tickets to tonight's game. We feature Twins games, other great prizes from the office on Washington and 844 Hey Workers. So it's awesome. How about that game last night, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you tell me. You're the one that owes money. You went with the St. Louis Blues, and I said, no, I'm going to go with the hot hand of Devan Dubnyk. And I'm going to take the Wild on the road because of the way they play on the road. Funny enough, I'm right again. It was a great game.
Can we tell the other part where I said, I think that the Wild are going to win, but here's what I do. I bet against the Wild because if they win, I get satisfaction out of it, and I feel like it's almost one of those... one of those things where I'm superstitious about it. I almost have to bet against them in knowing that they're going to win because that's what happened last year in the playoff run, and it went for a really, really long time. So I will gladly give you money as long as the Wild continue to win. Honest to God, it's worth it to me to fork over $5 every game that the Wild are going to lose and they end up winning.
Ben Holson goes on record today right here on Radioactive Sports saying, He will fund the entire betting to make sure that the Wild win every game.
It's worth
betting
it to me.
Yeah, it is for me, too. And
it's worth it to me. It's worth it to the fans.
To take the money. Yeah. I'll put it in a kitty. I mean, we'll go out and party with it with the fans.
Perfect.
I'll take all your money, put it in a nice little jar, and we'll go out and just buy beer.
Yeah. And chicken wings.
Right here at the office.
Yeah.
Grill and Pub.
Chicken wang.
I've had them here before, by the way. And so it's fantastic. We got a big stacked show.
It's huge.
We got Marsh Hallberg stopping by. Ooh, but look, hey, we're going to talk with Mark Parrish, too, by the way.
Yes, your guy.
I met him on Fox 9 with Jim Rich, and he is a joy to be around. So we're going to have fun talking with him. And, I mean, how about Dumba? I want to ask him what that shot must be like. Everyone talks about his shot and that cannon that he let loose with last night. Mm-hmm. Why is that so much different from everybody else's shot? Because there isn't a single soul that doesn't talk about that guy like he's amazing. I don't know any different. I'm still new to this, but they all look lightning fast to me, and they say that his will go through you.
Well, it's so heavy. I mean, we talk about pitchers. We talk about quarterbacks or linebackers in the NFL. Lawrence Taylor may hit much harder than Kylie Wong is going to hit. It's just, I don't know. I'm not necessarily sure why. Practice, muscle, trajectory of the shot, but I love Matt Dumba. He is amazing.
Did you see the way he squared up on that one last night on the little feed over to him?
And did you like the way he celebrated? Like the cape, pulled the cape over and was just looking over it a little bit. But you and I talked about it before the game yesterday. We were wall-to-wall Wild stuff and Adrian Peterson reinstatement and whatnot. He's back in the league, by the way. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But we said Jason Zucker and Dumba are going to be the keys to them winning. And wow. I mean, that first goal by Zucker, the wraparound.
He's unbelievable.
9 screws and a plate in his clavicle that was collapsed earlier this year. That was just months ago.
Collarbone. Just like Patrick Kane, proving that he can come back in that little time and still be effective and not worry about it. First game back, he got put into the boards at about 1,000 miles an hour, and it held up. But, I mean, you have to admire a guy that can go out there and not fear the possibility of just shattering that thing.
Yeah. Playoff hockey is the absolute best, but the last 2 minutes were unbelievable. I started at my favorite local establishment and by my house, and then first period, came home. Watched the second and third period, went out to let the dog out with like 3 minutes to go. I thought, we got this thing in the bag. There were 2 goals by the time I had come back. The Minnesota Wild had scored 1 to go up 3-1, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And then the Blues had made it 3-2. And then another empty net goal, sealed the deal, 4-2. So 2 empty net goals at the end of the game. But those last 2 minutes. And then you could tell, too, the St. Louis Blues wanted to hit us all game. And they were hitting the Minnesota Wild. They were playing pretty tough, and that's who the St. Louis Blues are. They're big and they're tough and they're strong, and that's what everybody was afraid of. But if you can't catch our guys, can't hit them.
If you can't catch us, you're not going to put anything on us. We're pretty nifty. We are. Yeah. I'm not going to steam. I think we're a really super tough, fast team. And like we always say in football, in the NFL, I mean, speed kills. It does. And you just can't. There's not a way to combat that. No. If you have just speed all over the place, that's what some of the greatest defenses were all known for back in like the early to mid-90s with the Dallas Cowboys, that no-name defense. But they could all fly. They were all flying to the ball. 5 guys on the tackle every time. That's speed kills in sports, and that's all there is to it.
But they caught the Wild a couple of times up near the boards, and I thought, oh, God, are we going to be able to survive this 7-game series? And then at the end of the game, too, the St. Louis Blues were taking some cheap shots with Backes. Can't remember who it was against, maybe Coyle, maybe, or Granlund. I think it was against Granlund where it was a face-off, and he took a cheap shot, ended up having to be called for a penalty for a cross-check or something like that. And then Ott. Ott, I think, is going to be a guy. O-T-T. Steve Ott, I think his name is. He's going to be the Bertuzzi guy that makes me want to spit at my TV.
He's a havoc instigator.
Those pricks.
He's a havoc instigator. I think that it's going to be one of those series. And I think that, I admired Mike Yeo last night for saying we don't have any real reason to be overjoyed by any of this. We've got to keep this in perspective. We've got to keep wraps over this and keep it dialed in because these guys are tough.
Mm-hmm.
I like that approach. I like that humble sort of keeping everything in check. I think he said the right things, did the right things with the team last night, too. But this is a very formidable Minnesota Wild squad. We've got a little of everything. Number one, we got Dubnyk. I mean, that's the number one thing, is that he will stop shots. He only missed two last night, right? I think that's what the mm-hmm. score indicated. He missed two.
Yeah, and there were
he had 19 stops.
There were a couple there where you saw it that should have been goals but bounced off the pole, which was very nice. Just the luck fell. And I want to say, but I don't want to say. I want to say I think the Wild are going to win on Saturday too. But I don't want to say it because I'm such a Minnesota sports fan. I'm such one of those pessimistic, worried about superstitions and this and that. So I'm going to go ahead and say, wink, wink, I think the Wild are going to lose again tomorrow. Wink, wink. But I, honest to God, I think they're gonna take it again.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, they just have this thing about going on the road and dominating. I don't know what it is about. We always had, with the Vikings, I can only speak from experience, but we always took the us against them mentality. It's us against the world kind of thing when we go into another, person's backyard. And it's fun to take a game and jump back on the plane and fly out of town and just take the victory with you. There's nothing quite like it. Winning on the road is fun. You got to get used to it. And at home, certainly, we got to start getting used to it.
That's the problem.
That's the best.
That's the thing that worries me a little bit, because going into the playoffs, you have to be good at home. You have to be good at goaltending and great on the power. We scored a power play goal.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable yesterday.
Unbelievable. And they
allowed a shorthanded goal, though, I think, near the end of the game. That was a bummer.
Yeah. I love their chances all the way through. In fact, did we have was his name Kreiser?
Yep,
John Kreiser.
Kreiser,
who
yep.
wrote the article about us and his feeling that we would go all the way and win the Stanley Cup. Well, that's a pretty tall order. I'm not so sure this team isn't very capable of doing that. I mean, all the people getting back at the same time from injury, Zucker, Stewart's out there again. I don't know about Cook, if he'll be around. I think he will be, but
and Cook's around. Cook's fine. I think there was a five person. Kind of bottleneck there going in. He had to pick. Mike Yeo has too many players that are healthy right now. It's a bad problem to have, but you have to go with your hot hands. And Matt Cook obviously isn't necessarily needed as much as he would have been last year in the playoffs, because there are guys like Chris Stewart that can come up and beat you in the mouth, which is great, which is what you need to do. But at the end of the
game, Cook draws too much attention anyway. I mean, anything he tries to do,
so
he's
going
to be like, you're out of here. And
yeah.
Oh, but we're talking about suspensions, though.
Oh, suspensions,
Cook is always going home with the police following him to make sure he gets home. And he's sitting there for about three or four games before he can come back. I mean, Stewart, at least, he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
And people say, okay, if he puts a shoulder in there, it does something a little bit naughty. That's Stewart.
Naughty.
That's just who he is.
I can't wait to call, because we're going to talk to our friend Elizabeth Meineke, who's the beat writer for the St. Louis Blues from Fox Sports Midwest down there in St. Louis, and say, hey, Elizabeth, remember when you scored that one goal? Yeah, that was cute.
Just that was
cute.
That was precious.
Yeah, that was very cute of you to do that.
By the way, we gave that to you. We let you have that.
Yeah. We felt bad for you.
I did. I really did feel bad for him.
But you watch the Blues come out tomorrow.
No, they're going to come out.
They're going to come out. I mean, the way that they came out last night, they're going to come out much more aggressive than that even. Tomorrow, because they're going to say the Minnesota Wild are so fast, they were in and out and skating, the puck was in the offensive zone for so long, and the Wild were holding on to it. You've got to make them pay. They have to make the Wild pay. That's the only way they're going to beat us.
Yeah.
Because the way that the Wild control the puck and the speed and keeping it in the offensive zone and not giving chances to the Blues, that's the only way they can beat us is to hurt us and to overrun us.
I think so, too. I'm with you on that. And if they have any more than what they gave last night in terms of intensity or bully ball, it's not bully ball, though. It's bully something. Bullying. Mm. Then why didn't they use it last night? Because last night was the chance to let us know who they are.
They were trying to.
Yeah.
So, and especially at the end, they were taking cheap shots.
And that's the thing. I don't
five
know if they got any more than that.
Two.
I think we took their best game last night.
No, I think so.
I think we took their best intensity last night.
I just don't think so.
All right.
I think they can do more. I just have so much more respect.
Well, without,
more respect for
within
the
parameters of the rules of hockey.
Yeah. I think they can.
That's an interesting observation. I mean, we should ask our next guest.
And we will.
That very question, and we'll just see what he has to say. Who is our next guest? Mark Parrish, our next guest, and he's been around. He's put on the skates a few times and laced them up, and I'm sure that he's spit a chiclet or two. And he's probably had someone distribute Chiclets on the ice.
I'm sure he has.
Because he wanted them to.
You smell that out here? Doesn't that smell like heaven?
It's summer. It's baseball. It's
cigars.
Food, and stogies.
Oh, God, this place is awesome. Join us at the office, Pub and Grill. It's on Washington, just down the street, a little over a block away. But honest to God, you don't have to cross cross the street. It's gate 3, right here on the corner.
About a block and a half away. Right across from the transit.
Looking at beautiful downtown
depot.
Minneapolis right here out in the back patio.
This is a nice place.
This is
really
great.
Nice place.
Thank you.
Come on back. We're taking a little break. And Mark Parrish joins us right here at Radioactive Sports.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Peterson has made fans uneasy with his return because he has been so obnoxiously vocal with how uneasy he is with us. If Peterson had come back and just kept his mouth shut, we wouldn't bat an eyelash. We would welcome him back and cheer for him to score touchdowns.
I mean, for Peterson, this isn't home, and it seems like it never has been.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
It's huge, just like any goal is, and it is in playoffs. You know, we had two more after that as well, and just kind of sealed the deal. And you know, all those count, and we know we still got three more games to go. So put this one behind us now and try and focus on those.
Wow, that's a kid that sounds focused. They always talk about having to reel him in and keeping the reins on him and lassoing him. Matt Dumba.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of ice time last night, I thought, for all the concerns going in. Obviously, he's got that huge, heavy shot and was one of the difference makers in the reason why the Minnesota Wild won yesterday. But all that he gives up by playing so aggressively that I was surprised. But he played an amazing game last night.
Fantastic. I just want to remind everybody that we're live on the back patio at the office on Washington Avenue in downtown Minneapolis. We're going to be doing this thing anytime the Twins are in town on Fridays. And we are going to be out here. This is a fabulous place. The office, Pub and Grill.
Happy hour right now. Oh. They're here before and after the games.
We're hammering nails over here, too.
Oh, and by the way, Hammerschlagen. Yeah, I've played that once or twice before. I'm sure you probably have as well.
First time.
Stop it.
It is. Swear to God.
You're saying that only because you just lost to me.
Well, I'd admit that anyway.
I mean, look at me. I am what you call an athlete.
I would say you've been athletic in your day and time. Mm. I mean, that's hand-eye coordination over there. You grab the big hammer, and they've got the nails over there already prepped out a little bit into a, looks like a large stump.
Mm-hmm.
And you just went at it.
I crushed it.
You crushed it 8 times, and it was down and out.
Yeah, crushed you.
I don't know if Mark Parrish could do that, but I'm sure he's probably got some hand-eye coordination.
I bet he could.
He'd probably come down here with a hockey stick and knock it down in 6. Let's ask him. Mark, are you there?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. I just got beat already in, what's it called again?
Hammerschlagen.
Oh.
Ever played Hammerschlagen, Mark?
You know what? I actually have had it in my basement.
Yeah.
We filled a couple of logs, and don't feel bad, Mike. I got beat on my home court night in and night out.
I'm surprised.
It's a tough game, and it gets tougher the more beers you have, too,
yeah,
by the way. Which is great.
Yeah, that vodka might have something to do with it, too. But hey.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, I got to thank you. You are great at golf. I've never played golf with a hockey player that couldn't hit the ball straight down the middle.
As long as we get a little aiming fluid.
Yeah. I played with Marion Gaborik once after he had 2 golf lessons, and he hit the ball down the middle of the fairway, 300 yards. Two.
And sort of similar game, just a little bit slower.
A little bit different. And on the green, he burned a mulligan on a 45-foot putt. And I said, you know, Gabby, I don't think I'd use it here. He's playing in our foursome in this scramble. And he goes, no, I think I can make it. And I said, well, okay. He said, I got 2 of them anyway, but I'm going to burn a mulligan here. So Joe Schmidt and I playing in the same group with Randall McDaniel, and he hands the mulligan over to the little gal in charge of the tournament and the scoring and everything, and he drops it. He puts it in the can. He puts it in the can. I'm like, okay, you're good. You're good.
That sounds like Gabby confidence right there to me.
Apparently so. Now, did you have a lot of time with Gabrick or not?
Yeah, I played with him here for 2 years. He's a good guy. It's good to see him have all the success out in L.A.
What about the game last night, Mark? I mean, on the road, St. Louis, we couldn't win there to save our lives for the last 4 or 5 years.
Since 2007. We picked up a win this year in St. Louis.
It was incredible. It absolutely blew me away. that they came out and just flat out skated St. Louis in game one in St. Louis. And just bottom line, they wanted to skate faster than them. They wanted the puck more, and they got it. It was impressive. And Jason Zucker led the way. That guy looked like he was, like Mike Yost had him caged up for the last 2 months. He was playing like a man possessed. It was amazing. Nobody could keep up with him.
Yeah, no, the way that the Wilds skated with their speed yesterday, the Blues couldn't catch them to hit them into the glass. They got several hits on them, but not as many as they had wanted to. Jason Zucker, like you mentioned, unbelievable, that wraparound goal to get things started just a couple minutes into the game. How did you feel, though, Mark Parrish, about Mike Yost after the game saying that the Wild didn't play their best game last night?
I think it's true. I think there was times, you know, there's special teams I think they would like to have a little bit better, a little bit, especially the first power play, kind of get that a little bit more seamless and moving a little bit more fluid. And obviously you can nitpick every game because it's not perfect. But most importantly, it's only game one. It's easy to get excited because of the way they came out and played against St. Louis, especially how they played in their D zone. My Lord, I don't remember how many blocked shots on attempts. It was incredible how well they were getting in front of pucks, which leads back to they were moving their feet to be in position to make those plays. And, well, Mike Yost's got to keep them level, which he's going to do. He's a great coach. He's going to say, hey, boys, that's one game. We still got three more to finish this. And I'm sure they're still looking at this as being a 6 or 7 game series. There's just no other way you can.
I love the way he keeps things in perspective. That's the fresh part about Mike Yost that I like the most, is that he's got sort of that bottom line, that voice in the locker room that says, just settle down. Don't get too high on your horse. You got a long ways to go for all you young guys, an awful long ways if you haven't been here before. But, Dumba, how hard is that shot? It's all I hear about. Yeah. I don't know hockey. Obviously, I need to ask that question because everyone describes his shot as a cannon. And it all looks fast to me. It all looks unbelievably fast. But when the puck comes to him, everyone just like lights up. Oh, he's gonna hit it.
Yeah, he's got a great shot, a great one timer too. His release is fantastic. He gets it off quick, and he's almost kind of a. I don't want to compare him with Brett Hull, but he can adjust to one timers like that, almost like a goal scoring winger, which you just don't see in a defenseman that often. And man, when he lets it go, it goes right where he wants it to. It's impressive. It's been fun to watch him just progress this year and not just taking steps but taking leaps and bounds as a player in the NHL. It's just been fun to watch.
It's almost like watching Mighty Ducks, and I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 with the knuckle puck. Remember the knuckle puck back in the day?
Absolutely. I think I think Dumba can finish it or figure that one out too. I think he could put that in his bag in the next couple of years. Just to change it up every now and then.
Yeah, with Coach Bombay and people just diving out of the way of the puck. It was just unbelievable. I love him. He's my favorite guy. I've been waiting for him to get up with the big team. I've been such a big fan of his. At the end of the game, Mark Parrish, the St. Louis Blues, you could tell they were getting frustrated, obviously, and how could you not? I mean, they were coming in supposedly going to be the team that's just going to rickroll the Minnesota Wild. They couldn't catch up with the Wild. They were down. They scored a shorthanded goal, I want to say, and then the Wild scored an empty netter just to say, ha-ha, neener-neener, we're not going to do this. The Backus got in Granlund's face a little bit. I think he was sent to the penalty box. Ott started hitting some people. Do you think that the St. Louis Blues are going to come out tomorrow, 2 o'clock start tomorrow, with all the energy and all the angst that they were supposed to come out with last night? And I think they tried to, but be more focused and more intent on playing their game.
Absolutely. I fully expect that. Mike Yost, the Minnesota Wild, everyone fully expects that. And I love that you brought up Steve Ott, the guy I played with in Dallas, and I fully expect him to spearhead the campaign. He is a guy that not only enjoys being an antagonist, but just loves and relishes the role. I mean, he just takes pride in it. He is going to come out and hit everything that moves. And there's an old saying in the NHL that if we can't beat him on the scoreboard, we're going to beat him on the ice. You can kind of figure that one out. You can figure out the mentality of a hockey player and then going into a 7-game series.
Of all the guys you played with, you're describing Ott as that kind of guy. Where does he rate on that aggressive list of 1 to 10, 10 being a pretty aggressive guy?
As a player, he's right up there. I mean, he's 9.95.
Wow.
He's chirping the whole time. He's going the whole time. I mean, he's right up there. He's got to be one of the most annoying guys you'll ever play against. But he's one of those guys that everybody loves. When you play with him, boy, you'll love that guy because he's absolute team player. He's got everything. He's got team goals in mind. He was fun to play with, and he earned a ton of respect in my book that year. I got to play with him in Dallas.
Wow. That's the highest respect that you can pay a guy. Dubnyk, speaking of respect, he's earned it. I mean, he's earned it for himself. I mean, this guy is unstoppable. The guy, he's a machine.
He earned it, and he did it the hard way. We're all still trying to figure out how he played that many games in a row without blowing something, a knee, a groin, a hip, I don't know, anything. And he just get more relaxed and more calm and bigger and stronger. It was just amazing to watch him finish off that season. And now it looks like he hasn't missed a beat in that game one. Now, granted, the team did awfully well in front of him blocking shots, and then he didn't have too many big tests. But that, I think game two is going to be a much, we're going to have to lean on him a little bit more come game two.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. We're talking to Mark Parrish and leading up to game two. But leading up to game one, the Wild finished the season 28-9-3. The Blues finished the regular season top eight in goals for, goals against, power play advantage or percentage, penalty kill percentage. Last night, though, the Wild were very smart, avoided penalties. They rarely gave St. Louis a chance to set up in their offensive zone, where in the regular season the Blues were so good at getting to the front of the net and then wreaking havoc, which it would seem to be what the Minnesota Wild did last night in the crease and grabbing rebounds and just being in front of Allen and just kind of getting in his way. How do you see, do you think that the Minnesota Wild are going to go into to tomorrow's game with the same exact game plan, stick to what works because they won 4-2, or are they going to change some things up a little bit? What's it like in the locker room coming back after winning that first game? Where is their mindset?
They'll make small changes. There's always small changes that they'll make. The amount of detail that you go over when you're going to play a team in a seven-game series is kind of mind-boggling. So you know everybody on that team inside and out, each player's strengths and weaknesses and, you know, where you can beat them, everything like that. So they'll always make changes from one game to the next. But that being said, the overall mindset is not going to change at all. It's, all right, boys, we outskated them, we got there, we got to the puck first, we made plays, let's do it again.
Mark Parrish, is it more of a thing for St. Louis to have to try to make the matchups and skate into matchups to pair up with the Wild, or are the Wild just so good on their skates they don't have to really worry about who's hiding where and we need to match up and find him?
Oh, I think there's always guys on St. Louis. I mean, that's one of the, you know, you guys brought up discipline and how the Wild didn't take penalties, and this is the time of year. Well, no matter who you're playing against, but especially when St. Louis has got guys like, you know, big David Backus is going to get out front, TJ Oshie trying to throw in it by him, Tarasenko, whose skill is pretty terrifying. You don't want to give those guys an opportunity on a man down, on a man advantage. So you just got to take a punch and just swallow your pride and just stay out of the box in any way you can.
Yeah, it's interesting. At some point, we're going to have to ask you in the near future. We're running out of time here, Mark Parrish. But how can the Wild stop it when, they had problems against the Colorado Avalanche last year in the playoffs when the opponent pulls their goalie and there's another man on the ice. And you're coming down to crunch time, just a minute or two left, and then the pressure is on. It's just unbelievable. Can you give us a prediction before we have to let you go for tomorrow's game, that face-off at 2 o'clock on NBC?
Oh, I think it's a prediction. I think it's going to be a 3-2 Wild win.
Awesome.
There it is. Mark, you'll join us again, won't you, next week?
Absolutely.
We really enjoyed having you on. We were so happy you could come on and give us your thoughts on this. We really do respect it. We'll need you later on down the road for sure, okay?
No problem. Thank you very much, Mike.
You bet. Absolutely. Mark Parrish, everybody. He is what a guy.
I
met him just one time.
That's all?
On the set over at Fox 9 with Jim Rich. We were on the same show.
Because you guys hit it off, it seemed like you guys had known each other for a long time.
You saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, you guys were trying to take over Jim Rich's show.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
I thought you knew each other.
Nope.
But put two hooligans together, and a straight guy like Jim Rich, the poor Jim Rich, my God.
Jim is the perfect setup guy, though.
Of course
he is. Perfect straight man. So it's a lot of fun going on that show. Anyway, we're going to do the old 4.5 questions at 4:30, and we're going to do that right after this break.
Passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater. He throws it pretty deep.
No one better at throwing accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater. No one more accurate.
Ooh, that's a bold
Aaron Rodgers? I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
You know, first period, I thought we were checking decently. I thought the second period, we were much better with the tightness of our game, you know, as far as how we were pressuring and creating turnovers. But we were one and done a lot in the offensive zone. And second period, we were hanging on to the puck. We were moving our feet a little bit more down there. And because of that, we drew some power plays and got some big momentum from that.
What am I sampling?
Oh, absolutely. I think I will.
What am I sampling?
What do we have here?
I've never had this
Silver
before.
Silver bullets?
I've here never we go. Had
well,
hold
this. On hold
second. On. I got to make sure
hold
it's
on
good.
Just a second. Let's do this in 1, 2, 3.
Everything I hoped it would be. It's
are
unbelievable.
Are we supposed to be drinking on the job? Why not?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Okay, keep bringing those
don't
out.
Don't forget to come back and see us.
We are, we're at the office. The office on Washington Avenue. The office pub and grill. Enjoy $3 cold domestic taps and a full menu before and after each broadcast. The broadcast is going on right now, so get on down here. And
it's
enjoy
awesome.
Enjoy just that.
It's awesome. The weather can't be any more beautiful. The superstar can't be any more beautiful himself. Look at his makeup that he put on today.
Uh-huh.
I mean, isn't that fantastic?
What do you think of the rouge? Would you say that it matches my olive complexion?
No. I wish you would put your shirt back on, too.
Listen, but you don't. So you don't care about the tassels. You don't care about,
I do care
the,
about
glitter,
the tassels.
The glitter in my navel.
I didn't see the glitter in
I'm
your navel.
I'm heading over to Deja Vu. Well, I'm dancing next. I already picked out the music.
Your navel's too deep. I couldn't,
it's
I couldn't
like
see
the Grand
the,
Canyon. Yeah.
But seriously, we're out in the patio. Look at the beautiful landscape of downtown Minneapolis.
I know, it's nice.
Off to the east there, the southeast. The stadium is just a block away. Come see us. Great drink specials at the office.
It's a great view from there.
$3 cold domestic taps, full menu before and after each game. Just walking distance away. Brought to you by our good friends at 844
Hay Workers. We did it yesterday, for God's sakes. We did it.
It's so close. You and I parked our car here yesterday, walked to the game, and walked back, and...
Cakewalk. It was a cakewalk.
Happy hour, too, by the way, till 6 o'clock, 7 days a week. Late night happy hour after the game, 9 to 11. That's also 7 days a week. Hot, hot, hot Minneapolis North Loop neighborhood. The office, pub, and grill open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
This is one of those days. It's one of the 365. You can come on down here. Wait, every day is, right? How many days? Okay. How about 4.5 questions?
Four and a half questions.
Yeah. Where's the beer at? Those girls, I told them.
I love those girls.
Yeah.
I love them.
Well, they're cute. You love all girls.
Not all of them, but lots of them. 4.5 questions. Bless you. We all watched the Wild game last night. We're all Minnesota sports fans except Marsh Hallberg, who's here. He's a nutbag from Wisconsin. He jumps the border, takes our job, drops anchor babies. But that's another show, another station. You and I said yesterday that other than Doobie Doobie Doo and Parisi and Suter, that Jason Zucker, Matt Dumba, going to be big reasons why the Wild win last night.
We kind of said that they were X-Factor guys.
Yeah, I begged for Granlin to give me some love. And what did he do? Scored an open netter. Tomorrow's game, tell me who needs to stand out for the win.
I think you're going to see some of the same guys resurface over and over and over again. I think they're stars in the making. I mean, Zucker, I think, is already there. But I think you can count on him every game. I mean, like Mark Parrish just told us in the last segment, he was like a man possessed. He was all over the place, and no one could catch up to him. He's too fast. He's too quick on his skates. I say Zucker again. I really do. Dumba, he's intimidating. I mean, guys probably are wondering, what are we going to do with this guy?
He's not even very big. He's teeny.
He's got the one-timer. I like what they call it, the one-timer. Yeah.
The slap shot.
It's just, I mean, the puck goes, I don't know, 20, 30 feet over to him, and he's already winding up. And bringing heat.
But last night's game, obviously, Pominville scored the empty netter. And there are so many guys, so many waves, so many shifts that can do it. Parisi, Suter, Fontaine, Brodziak, Vanek. I mean, Koivu, Coyle. Can go on and on and
on.
So where is it going to come from every single game? And that's Niederreiter, too. He's another guy that can step up and did a great job last year in the playoffs. He's the Dumba of last year.
It's incredible what's happening right now, right before our very eyes. And I think that you can only be big and burly. Like in football, you can go out there and hammer away for a quarter and a half, two quarters. But if you're playing against that team that's really athletic and really, like, even downsized 20 pounds per man, they will wear your ass out.
Yep.
Those big guys just start leaning. They don't push him, or they're leaning. And
see
the other
suckers.
Guys are flying around.
See ya, suckers.
Yeah, no question.
Question two, it's official Adrian Peterson now back in the good graces of the NFL.
Have they traded him yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
That I know of.
Okay.
I am hearing, though, that the Oakland Raiders are now on the outskirts of a possible landing spot.
I like that.
That's the thing that you and I had talked about. As soon as Adrian Peterson's reinstated, here we go.
I like it.
Because it's official. He's going to be back in the league. You don't have to worry about, is he going to have more fines? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? He's back in the league. teams are going to start trading for him. So who knows what's going to happen, because the draft is just now one day less than 2 weeks away. Vikings AP, the rest of the league. Let's pare it down to here just a little bit. Adrian hasn't officially asked for a trade, but Ben Dagra, his agent, has asked for everything under the sun, saying he doesn't want to be here. He's uneasy about coming back, this and that, all the other things. It's just stupid. Vikings obviously want him back. Vikings offseason workouts begin on Monday at Winter Park.
Got it.
We speculate and formulate all the time about what's going to happen. I'm going to go on the record right now and say I don't want him back here. I don't want Adrian Peterson back here. If that means we lose a few more games next year, fine. We're building for the future. We have such a young group of players and a great coach to lead us to the future. If Dick Springfield can get a substantial package, take it. If not, make him adhere to his contract and play for the Vikings. This is about the team and the fans, not AP. Screw him. You agree?
I totally agree with screw him. He is Adrian Peterson, though. Talked to Scotty Farrell last night on the bench, on the mahogany.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love that guy.
Oh, the best ever. He knows his hockey, but you know what? He was talking about Adrian Peterson with me all night.
Yeah.
Well, 12 minutes. But we thought we... Okay, so...
You guys were whispering sweet Adrian Peterson nothings to each other on your My Pillows.
I would say... How'd you know that? In the same pillow.
I know you. I know
the same
you.
Pillow, by the way.
Surprise me.
He was of the same feeling that I was, where you're sick of this guy for a lot of reasons. He's a great running back. You can force him to play. They literally can. I think that both sides would like to move on, though. I really do. And it's going to take, Fort Knox to get him. I really think so.
Yeah.
And God, I don't know. And please make it be Oakland or Jacksonville or someone like that. Put him in the black hole out in Oakland.
God, wouldn't that be great?
I mean, but
Oakland or Jacksonville,
yeah,
go.
Exactly.
Go. Be gone with you.
And I disagree a little bit with we're rebuilding. I don't know. In this day and age, I think you can actually make two or three players and really kind of fly and pretty quickly. I think if you get the three positions that you and I talk about endlessly on Radioactive Sports is the left guard, the middle linebacker, and
cornerback.
The corner.
Yeah.
I just think that can make a big difference if Teddy just steps it up one more notch. Mike Wall, all these other things that have happened over the offseason. I don't think you have to really rebuild. If you have Peterson back, you're not in rebuilding mode. It's giddy up time.
Okay.
It's giddy up. It is.
No, I know it is.
It is. It's giddy up.
I know it is.
We had a good team.
Question three, what a difference some sunshine and a couple of wins make for the Twins, just like that. Twins, boom, riding high. Two-game winning streak. We were there. We witnessed it ourselves. The first series win of the young season. After not being able to score against Detroit and the Chicago White Sox, back here now against the Kansas City Royals, please, get out of here. Paul Molitor switched Brian Dozier and Torii Hunter. One game into the series, the home opener series here.
Mm-hmm. Kansas City.
Dozier hitting cleanup now, Torii Hunter hitting second. Is that the reason for the offensive turnaround, or is it because they're just back home at Target Field? They feel more comfortable. They're about a week and a half now in here to the regular season. What's the reason for the offensive turnaround? Because we saw it explode the last, well, especially yesterday, but 3-1, a 3-1 victory over Kansas City on Wednesday, too.
14 hits yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Generated 8 runs. And I just think I'm along with Torii Hunter a little bit on this. It just wasn't who they were. He could. No one could believe what they were doing. He said, look, the first 6 games, we stunk. You know, Torii, you can hear him saying that. He doesn't care. I mean, he said that. We were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's not us. And I'm going to believe him. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. They all talked about the Twins being better this year down in the training camp, spring training, and a lot of the baseball experts, former players, were saying this is a better team today. They were hitting the ball pretty solid. I don't think it's because of the lineup shakeup. They all got a piece of the ball yesterday. I mean, Suzuki takes one out of the park. Your guy, Vargas, takes one out of the park deep. Torii Hunter's got 3 hits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's starting to click a little bit. I think it really is.
Is there anything better? And I know you're a football guy. I'm more of a football guy than a basketball or a baseball guy. In my opinion, it goes football, basketball, baseball, hockey.
Okay.
But when it's 70 degrees and sunshine, is there any place you'd rather be than outside of the baseball game?
I'll take 70 degrees sunshine in the fall with football, but I agree with you. I know what you're saying. Where would you rather be than right here, right now at the office on Washington Avenue, right now sipping a Coors Light with your favorite buddy and my favorite little techie over here, Mike, and just talking the talk and talking sports and the beautiful people walking around. And we're just enjoying a beautiful patio, and you should come down here with us as well because the food is great, the service is great, the patio is outstanding, The view of the city is outstanding. And we just talk sports.
Yeah, that's all we do.
That's where we want to be.
We eat, we drink, we be merry. It's what happens here. And that's why I love working with you every single day. Coming up, three and a half questions. But coming up next, Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. What do you think? One word, the half question here. One word on the, we're going to discuss the soccer stadium financing and the fact that Bill McGuire, the owner of the Minnesota United FC, isn't asking for any public money to build the stadium, just for some tax breaks. What do you think about the progress, the success of that actually coming to fruition?
I'm going to say, I'm going to use the word header.
Header.
As in soccer. Yeah. And I'm going to say that because this is a thinker. I think we better ask a lot more questions before we just let them. They know what they're doing already. And I it's almost too good to be true, but I think you have to think this one over real, real carefully and know what you're getting into exactly, because there seems to be more behind it than that. But header, soccer term. You didn't think I knew that?
No, I didn't.
Well, take
in
that.
In fact, I feel like you're getting a little handsy. That's another soccer term.
Wait till you see my spinning drop kick, or what is that? I don't even know what that is. I'm cracked. That's what I am. I'm cracked. I'll tell you. You want to talk about someone who's severely unstable, Mark?
Mark
Ellis and Marsh Hallberg. Mark Ellis is completely cracked, and he's standing right here in front of us. Wow, what a slappy! But Marsh Hallberg.
Hallberg Criminal Defense,
Hallberg,
everybody.
Hallberg Criminal Defense steps around the corner with his 3.2-mile shirt on. Oh, wow.
A race or a bail-out. 5K, got it.
I like it. Make sure Darren gets one of those. Your Packer, your former Packer. Okay. Okay, enough of that. Marsh Hallberg, next.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. The McCurry's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The world's fastest half mile, the Food City 500 from Bristol Motor Speedway. Tune in for live coverage Sunday morning at 11.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
I just have a feeling, a funny little feeling, that I'm going to need Marsh Hallberg, not just right now, but later on in the evening, because I'm having so much fun. And I'm going to get into a couple 13, 14, thanks to The Godfather, by the way. A little bit of trouble later on tonight.
It can happen. It can happen just like that. If you don't use good common sense, and you've probably seen the series from Hallberg Criminal Defense on things not to do.
Yeah.
You are the type of person, by the way.
Of course I am.
You should look at those a few times.
I'm young and dumb.
Yeah. Don't run from the cops tonight. Don't.
For once.
Just watch the video.
For once.
Watch the video.
Well, I wouldn't run all the time if I didn't get away.
True.
I mean, look at my 40 time. It's like a 6.34.
Oh, you guys.
It's Friday, and this is an awesome place.
Isn't it great?
Wow.
We're lucky to be here.
What else do you want? Do we take care of
nothing
you or not?
But the best for the Hallberg.
Yeah, this is good. I like this.
We are at the office. Make sure you stop by. Get fueled up before the game. We're here with the Ticket Girls in the office patio. The Coors Light Girls are fantastic as well.
Indeed.
A chance to win tickets to tonight's game, future Twins games, other great prizes from our friends here at the office on Washington, the Office Pub and Grill, and 844 Hey Workers. Enjoy $3.
Hey Workers are here, right back there.
Taps.
I met a couple of them just a little while ago.
$3 very ice cold domestic taps, full menu before any after each broadcast, and it's nothing better than 70 degrees, no wind, plenty of sunshine, baseball, apple pie, orange juice.
Yeah, make sure you say
Marsh
Dodge.
Hallberg.
Don't be saying
Dodge.
Another one. Yeah, say Dodge.
Dodge and Marsh Hallberg. From Hallberg Criminal Defense, brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds, joining us every Friday at 4:45. Thank you.
What a day.
Yeah.
It's every day like this in Minnesota, all year long.
Every day is
like this. No bugs, 70 degrees, light breeze.
Exactly.
God, I love this state.
No bugs, right.
It's perfect. No snow.
You can't ask for anything better than this. I mean, mid-April. We're talking mid-April here, kids. 74 degrees.
If you are still at work, you have permission from your boss to go home.
Yeah.
Just given that.
Yeah.
Bang.
The governor just did a decree. It's too nice to be working. Go home.
It's really 13 minutes before 5 o'clock, so it's not like you're breaking any rules here anyway.
Okay.
Marsh Hallberg, a lot of stuff going on in the legal realm this week, especially when it comes to sports. Let's talk about Stu Voigt right off the bat.
Yeah, sad, sad, sad.
Stu Voigt, former Minnesota Viking tight end, in a little bit of trouble.
Again.
Yeah, you get charged federally, you're in a lot of trouble. There's no little federal trouble. Mm. Federal is bad time.
Now, here, I just got to.
There you go, buddy. Marsh.
Thank you.
What? How did this? Does this relate back to the same thing that he was in some trouble with Ron Yeary and that group?
Yeah, Ron Yeary and he, I think, settled the lawsuit 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Where the claim was that he had made false representations about investments. They settled that with a confidential settlement. And there was some civil action, I think, by the feds on that. But it's now swung around to an indictment claiming that between 2005 and 2007, a company called Hennessy Financial, which was the company that he was tied to with another guy named Gardner, that they raised money from investors. And like most things in life, when it seems too good to be true, it usually is too good to be true. So the concern here is that they're allegedly promising 10 to 20% returns on your money in a day when I'm getting about, a strong 1% maybe at the bank if I'm lucky. So the concern is that it's the old Ponzi scheme again. Charles Ponzi, 1920s, is the original name after that guy, where you take your new money to pay your old investors, and that's what the allegation is here, that Voigt and this other guy, as the ship was sinking, created some other corporations, moved the money over to that company, got some bank loans or some other loans, and didn't reveal the dire straits of where he was at to those lenders, defrauding them out of money. So that's the allegation.
But how stupid are people to go, okay, 10 to 20% return. Now, this is a no-brainer. I trust them. I mean, even if you trust, even if it's your brother. My brother told me I'll give you 10 to 20% of this money. I go, you're going to go in prison pretty soon, I think.
Well, I think it's because Voigt's a former radio announcer, too, after he did the Vikings. So, you know, radio announcers are so incredibly reliable and smart. And
well, some. Well, I would say 1% maybe is.
I don't think I'm really smart. I just think I'm passionately curious.
There you go.
Well, and accidentally funny.
Yeah, the concern is that they repeated payments of $50,000 apiece to Voigt and his business partner were made from the company. And at a time when they're sinking, so it'll work its way out. Federal court goes pretty quickly.
Bernie Madoff all over again type of deal?
Yeah, Bernie made it light. I mean, nothing can match that.
Well, of course, but
Tom Petters, approaching Tom Petters?
No, but you're still looking at a good chunk of money here, so.
Can you say, or would you
I'm not sure exactly how much it is. Okay. No, I don't know the exact dollar amount they're talking about here, but it's for the feds to get involved is substantial. I don't have a dollar amount listed from it.
How long is he going to go away if convicted?
I don't know, but, 10 years is a pretty normal number out there on a lot of federal cases. I mean, that doesn't say that applies in this case, but, again, feds don't mess around, man. They are tough. Tough, tough, tough.
Telling you right now.
Sad.
He must be.
So what was the overlap between you, superstar, and him as far as playing?
He was
there from, 70 to 80, was it?
Probably another year or two. I would have thought 82. Okay. No, I came in after Stu, and I was in that next wave in the mid-80s.
Okay.
My first year in the NFL was 87 with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
So
it must have been a big deal when you first meet Stu Voigt. I mean,
I knew him when I was a kid. I knew him. I mean, he was a great player. And he was amazing at Wisconsin. He was a shot putter and a sprinter, and he could do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was told he was one of the greatest athletes that ever came out of there.
Wow.
He's
we all were kind of glad. He was at the stadium every single Sunday down at the Metrodome for years and years. I sat in the same booth with him every Sunday that we were at home. And, we were all kind of glad that thing went over as smoothly as it did with Ron Yeary, who we played right next to it, right tackle. He was lined up right over there with Ron, and to see that happening was just sad. Yeah. It was a sad deal. So, anyway, that was settled, and now here we go again. So,
you think if it happens one time, you'd learn?
Yeah, no kidding. I think they were so far behind at that point with everybody else, not just Yeary. They settled with Yeary because that was pretty close and personal to him, I think. But certainly, this must have been a lot more complex than just Ron Yeary, and obviously so.
Yeah, and I think their defense is going to be, they're going to say, look, you're right, this is a bad investment. Lots of people lost money. Voigt himself lost millions, they're going to claim. And so we were just part of the whole downturn of the economy, and we'll see how that plays.
Well, Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, joins us every Friday, 4:45 to about 5:15. Brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds. Marsh, lucky you get to hang out with us for another segment. We're going to talk about the financing of the project for the new MLS stadium.
Okay.
We'll talk about maybe a little V. Stiviano.
Yeah, maybe. I want to get a visor like she wears. I think next week, let's all wear visors because we don't want anybody to know who we are.
Is she not screwed?
God, is that? Oh, yeah.
I mean, what else does she have?
Well,
everything's been taken for.
Find another really rich, dumb guy.
Yeah, well, good luck
with
that.
She's an archivist. What does she
need
rich guys for?
Archivist.
That's all she is.
Well, according to her testimony, you know, she never had any kind of a sexual relationship. He was just like a father figure to her.
Oh, sure he was.
I believe her, and I believe her.
I always,
Adrian Peterson reinstated, too. There's nothing really legally to talk about there, is it?
No, just other than the concept that, you know, one of the questions I've been asked has been, well, now that they've settled, you know, he's back in, now all the lawsuits go away, and that's not the case.
No.
Yeah, there's kind of a little legal mumbo jumbo with that, but
and let's not forget the highlight of the week. You dub that as you call that. What again, please?
Well, it's heirloom tomato or rock band.
A rock band.
Oh my God!
I mean, it's the highlight.
Yes.
As you guys playing the country music, was it 2 days ago? I was laughing my butt off listening to that.
I was tortured.
You were tortured. And that was the fun part of it. It was awesome.
We're going to do that some more.
I try to have a respectable sports talk show in the afternoon, and you guys go gum it up every single day. It drives me insane.
When I'm trying to get you down from where you're at right now, this intensity thing that you have a problem with, and your bitterness and your loudness when you come out like that at Marsh and myself.
Yeah.
I try to settle you down with a little Slim Whitman or some Marty Robbins.
That did work.
And you don't care for it, and that's because, again, that's back
just
to your temper.
Just give me booze. Booze or boobs, and I'm in. I like the two Bs.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk the talk. A little soccer, some heirloom tomatoes, some rock bands,
you bet.
And Ben's anger management next.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.
Uh-oh. Rut.
Too young. You're too young to remember Dragnet.
What a show.
Great. Jack Webb. Remember Jack Webb?
He had one level. I mean, just that straight. He made John Wayne look like he was excited.
How can he not know what Dragnet is? I may not have been alive back in the 30s, but it was still an unbelievable. I mean, you know who he was. You know, I mean, they played.
You remember the FBI? Remember FBI? Marsh Albert?
Yeah, absolutely.
Zimbalist Jr.
Yes. Junior. Got to get the Junior.
Remember Magnum P.I. guys, huh? Wasn't that awesome? Magnum P.I.?
I do.
Enough.
MacGyver?
MacGyver. Always
back
making something. Okay. Never mind.
That was the first time I learned how to make pipe bombs. Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah. We have the counselor here, the constable.
We can't talk about that stuff around. No, we used to blow stumps out of the damn. My dad's farm. We used to take stumps out with them.
Mm-hmm. Sure
Chicky Jack,
do you drill a hole in a stump before?
Yeah, underneath it.
Blowing stuff up all the time.
Well, next time I blow up a stump, we know who to call.
Let me guess, you were also hitting tadpoles with tennis rackets.
So?
Sounds like animal abuse, don't you think?
I agree. It's what he does to me every day.
It's
ridiculous.
It really wasn't a tennis racket. It was frog baseball.
Yeah, I figured so.
That's what the hell we were doing.
Join the superstar Mike Morris and I'm Ben Olson, along with our friend Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. We're at the office. We'll be here till 7, 4 to 7, every Friday Twins home game this season. Happy hour right now. You need to do some business. It's a great place. It's equipped with USB cables on loan, plugins throughout the throughout complimentary Wi-Fi, ticker tape, stock updates. Located within walking distance to Target Field. That's why we love it. It's perfect outside. We're out here on the patio. You can also like The Office on Washington on Facebook and visit their website at theofficepubandgrill.com.
18 HD TV.
Yes, it's
here at The Office.
Unbelievable.
So if you thought you had a great office, come on down here and check our office.
And that's the best part of it all. You can tell your wife or husband or boyfriend,
we'll
girlfriend, mom, dad, whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to stay a little. But, honey, it's so nice outside. There's some things I have to do.
I can't do it.
I'm
not tonight.
Stay a little bit late at the office. I'll be home when I'm done. Sorry it's tough work, honey, but somebody's got to do it.
And you said that so believably.
Did I?
Yeah.
Stop it.
He does it all the time. Can you say the word soccer and Twin Cities?
Soccer.
And make any
soccer?
Sense out of it? Can you really say that and mean
it's
it?
It's el football.
El usual football.
Well, you know, because I have no life, and so I sat around and I started looking at just the financing that Minnesota has done. Because I really didn't find one concise article that kind of explained all the stadiums and what the state has done. And so we have our little article on the ticket website. It's called Under Review every week. And this week, some of it's a really good boring. They go into the footnotes actually stuck in our article. They don't have to. But the bottom line is, we Minnesotans have spent well over $1 billion of taxpayer money through sales tax, subsidies, state monies to fund the last four stadiums that we've put in here between the U of M, TCF, Twins, Vikings, and St. Paul Saints. And so now you got poor little soccer coming to their up to the legislature with their hands out, and because we know those guys don't have any money, right?
But they're not even asking for anything.
No, they're smart enough. What happened is, real quick thing, what happens in 2011, the year before the Viking Stadium got locked down, legislators were afraid that they were going to take the capital expenditure revenue fund that gets generated, extra money that gets developed and collected from the stadium, and keep it and let it keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. And then when the Vikings were going to come forward, at that point the Vikings didn't, you know, stadium didn't exist. So they said, we're going to put a cap of $1 million in that fund. So it can't get to be like $100 million. Because then other people go, look, we already got $100 million. Let's just throw it towards the Viking Stadium. So they put a little protection mechanism into the Twins financing that prevented that fund from growing too largely. They've paid off over like $30 million towards the debt loan on the Twins Stadium early because of having to do that. So that's a good thing. And people say it's done exactly what we wanted. But now there's what's called stadium fatigue, that we've done it four times.
I'm
enough already. I know you're not.
I want another one.
You're going to get another one.
I want more.
Yeah, well, all they really want, because they're smart enough to know they are not going to get this through. So they need about $350 million total for the land, the franchise fee, the stadium. They're going to front that themselves. All they're asking for is basically forgiveness of sales tax and other property taxes. It's about $3 million they want. That's it. $3 million.
It should be a slam dunk. Why is the – I mean, I'm not big into politics, but why is the mayor of Minneapolis going, oh, my hands up in the air. I can't – this is ridiculous.
Speaker of the House.
That's what we do here, though. We're going to drag it out. We don't spend money like that in Minnesota.
But, Soup, we've talked about this a billion times. Look at Dinkytown and the way the University of Minnesota has completely changed with all of those the new condos and stores and restaurants and bars and pubs. The same thing. We went to the Twins game yesterday. All of these condos and restaurants and
bars popping up everywhere.
This place used to be this area used to kind of be
rough.
It used to be a dump.
The North Loop.
Look how amazing all of this is, and it's because of the taxpayer dollars and everything and the revitalizations of the neighborhoods.
That's nice.
Which